Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss, a production of the Daily Journal. We're coming to you for the next half hour or so, and we're glad you've chosen to click in with us. Logan, how are you, man?
Doing good, Parrish. Just kind of basking in the glow of what was National Signing Day, kind of the aftermath of it. It's such a busy day, a big time of year. You kind of get the end of football season, your football season kind of put to bed, and you revisit it and get started on a new season every February. So wasn't the most exciting day that Mississippi State's ever had on National Signing Day, but it was still had its little share of drama as well.
Always a little drama. I'll tell you, Logan, the best thing about signing day in 2017 was that the first Wednesday in February came on February the 1st, and not like another 4 days with it coming on February the 4th or something like that. So it was kind of neat to get it over like that. And like you said, a little bit of drama, and we're going to recap signing day at both places, and we'll throw in a little basketball as well. The Bulldogs and Rebels getting together at the Pavilion in Oxford earlier this week, a big win for Ole Miss. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the program. Before we move on, folks, I want to remind you about some other podcasts to be on the lookout for. Check out The Memo, our news podcast at the Daily Journal. That comes out every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, all things Northeast Mississippi. And for your high school sports needs, check out Prep Rally with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps coming to you every Wednesday. Logan and I are here with you usually on Thursday, maybe on Friday, give or take, depending on what's going on. There was a lot going on with signing day on Wednesday. Let's get right to it. And Logan, I'll go ahead and start with Ole Miss because it was a very different class. With the NCAA investigation continuing, there's no real end in sight with that. Nobody knows for sure, although I will say we're starting to hear, I guess, the school leaking this out in a couple of quarters, that they believe, that they're of the opinion that that they could hear from the NCAA with a second round of allegations, maybe in the spring sometime, maybe April. And we'll just see if that's true and where it all goes from there. But for right now, it was very difficult for this class to recruit in this cycle with that cloud out there and no one really knowing for sure what further sanctions or penalties will come from this NCAA investigation. So Hugh Freeze talked about that at length. Talked about how some other coaches use that against them, trying to spread information, whether true or not, about what would happen to Ole Miss. And you know, that was a big effect for Ole Miss on this class. That, in addition to having five new coaches on staff, a lot of staff turnover in the offseason. Now, all that being said, Hugh Freeze and his staff closed pretty strong on signing day. They got a lot of help defensively. 21 signees overall, 14 of them on the defensive side. A lot of linebacker help. The Ole Miss as a class was ranked number 53 on the 247 Sports composite list when signing day began. And they only had 14 commitments at that time, so they had a lot of spots to fill. And when they did, they finished the day ranked number 30 and number 12 in the SEC. And really not that far off in the national rankings from a lot of other SEC schools. So we'll get to some specifics in a little bit, Logan, but by and large, they feel like it's a class that meets needs. They felt like they were in the conversation with some national recruits that we have seen Ole Miss reel in recent seasons. But bottom line is they needed a lot of help at linebacker, and they signed a lot of linebackers. It's not a class with a lot of stars, but it's a lot of it's a class that Hugh Freeze believes will help him meet needs and improve on the defensive side. So, Logan, what were you hearing in Starkville?
Well, it really not a whole lot. Just what that huge signing day that you usually get, where you're getting 20-something kids in, that sign that day. Over half of Mississippi State's class were already on campus in new classes yesterday. 13 players enrolled last month, and they only signed 11 yesterday. So it was really just not a whole lot of guys rolling in. Most of those guys were already committed. They just took up three commitments on signing day. They got a defensive tackle out of Georgia, Duke Collins, kind of an underrated player. In fact, he didn't even have a star rating at the time. So he's kind of one of those under-the-radar guys. He visited this past weekend. He'll probably end up, he double signed with Itawamba, so he'll probably end up at ICC next season. Mississippi State will try to get him back probably in a couple of years. There are a couple other guys that they signed. They were able to flip back. Aaron Odom, Callaway, defensive end. Guy had 28 sacks during his senior season, so really a rush edge type of guy. Mississippi State had him committed since April, and a few weeks ago he flipped his commitment to Louisville and ended up flipping back on signing day back to Mississippi State. So they were able to keep an in-state guy here at home. Another guy they were able to keep really close to home was a four-star linebacker, Willie Gay, out of Starkville. Obviously, a guy that was committed to Ole Miss at one point, created quite a stir when he committed to Ole Miss several months ago, and then he ended up backing off that commitment. Ended up being a battle between Mississippi State, Ole Miss, LSU, and Michigan, and Mississippi State was able to keep him at home, and I know that was kind of the big coup de grace for this signing class. He's actually the highest rated guy in this signing class, but they were able to keep another guy that was a Golden Triangle guy, four-star running back out of Columbus, Colin Hill, was committed throughout the duration. Really helped with their recruitment. I think he came on his official visit, and then he was back the next 2 weekends trying to help Mississippi State recruit as well. But yeah, they were a class that they got a lot of the needs in the class in with those early signees last month. So with the rest of the guys that they actually signed on signing day, they signed several offensive linemen, big offensive linemen. Josh Cooper out of Houghton, Louisiana, 6'7", 355. And then Mullen talked about that 355 was them being generous. They actually shed some weight to drop him down to 355. So they've got some work to do to get him where they want him to be body-wise. But he talked about the girth that they signed. I mean, 6'7 lineman, another 6'7 lineman, and a 6'6 lineman that they signed on signing day. So they got the height, and he said he's glad that they've actually got tall quarterbacks on the team to see over those tall linemen that they signed. But, a pretty good day. Probably the biggest signee was Tucker Day, an All-American punter. He's actually the number one punter in the country. Mississippi State signed him, and he's also going to be able to kick for them. They looked at some different kickers from around the country, weren't able to sign any of those. So Tucker Day is actually going to get a chance to be Mississippi State's field goal kicker next season. So that was one thing that Dan Mullen said. He mentioned two guys that would probably play immediately out of this class, and that was Tucker Day and Willie Gay. He expected Willie Gay to be in the linebacker rotation starting from day one. And he also mentioned that Colin Deal would probably play early in his career as well. But, overall, a good day. Mississippi State finishes in the top 25 at number 24. They began signing day just outside the top 25. And slipped into there on signing day, and I think they had the ninth rating class in the SEC.
Well, I tell you what, Logan, lots of times there's more drama, it seems like, between Ole Miss and State going head-to-head. There was a little bit this time, and Willie Gay was part of that, but there were basically, three instances where it looked like or where it was very visible that they were both going after the same kids. And State got a former Ole Miss commit in Willie Gay. Ole Miss picked up a former Mississippi State commit in Tekion Reed, the two-way lineman out of New Hope in Columbus, and he played offense and defense there, and he most likely will play defensive line at Ole Miss. And the third guy was D.D. Bowie, you know, who had been a longtime Ole Miss commit, but that commit really seemed kind of weak toward the end of recruiting. And a lot of people thought that Bowie would end up at Mississippi State. Now, I don't know that he ever officially decommitted and said that he was not considering Ole Miss. So he was listed as an Ole Miss commit for a long time, but it just looked unstable. And Bowie now is the highest-rated player in the Ole Miss class. Now, most of these recruiting websites have him listed as a wide receiver, but I think he'll end up at cornerback, certainly on the defensive side at Ole Miss. And the Rebels really needed help at linebacker. You know, that was the biggest issue with a very weak defense in 2016. You know, Logan, you hear sometimes in August and September, you hear defensive coaches say, well, we really need to get better at our run fits, which translated means they need guys to play assignments better and to be in position to make tackles. Well, lots of times, you know, you might hear that from coaches in August and September, and then that's something that gets cleaned up and gets fixed as the season goes along. We were still hearing about run fits from Ole Miss coaches in November last year, and that's never a good sign. They needed help at linebacker, and they feel like they got that. And the highest-rated guy that they have in the class is a four-star, Brian Dixon, from Grayson High School in Loganville, Georgia. And, you know, he's an early enrollee, too, so he'll get the benefit of going through spring drills. And if Grayson sounds familiar, it is the Atlanta area high school that also produced the Kimdichie brothers, Robert Kimdichie and Denzel Kimdichie, you know, recent standouts at Ole Miss. So you take that for what it's worth. If you are a Kimdichie fan, then that's a really good thing. And you know, those guys certainly made a lot of plays during their careers, you know, at Ole Miss. And they also came with a lot of, you know, uncertainty around them, too, and a lot of off-the-field news as well. But Brian Dixon does come from the same high school, Grayson High School. Interesting to note, he only played that's not Brian Dixon. That would be the other Grayson High School signee in the Ole Miss class, and that's offensive lineman Tony Gray. He only played 1 year at Grayson High School, actually transferred there from another Atlanta area high school. Ole Miss spent so much time, Logan, on the defensive side of the ball, trying to fix that side, as Freeze would say, that there were very few offensive signees, but there were some that they believe will make an impact. And one of those is Gray on the offensive line. Ole Miss had signed almost five offensive linemen a year over the last 3 years, and they've built a lot of numbers and depth at that position, and that's good because they signed only two this time. Now, they did sign fewer as part of their scholarship sanctions, scholarship reductions that they self-imposed back in May. This NCAA investigation is ongoing. Probably more scholarship reductions will come, but you don't know where this is headed right now. But Ole Miss signed 21. NCAA allows you to sign 25, but only two offensive line signees. They really like Tony Gray. They had him as their third-rated offensive lineman. The first two were a couple of national recruits that signed elsewhere. And you don't usually hear coaches on signing day talk about the recruits that they didn't get. But, you know, Freeze called these guys by name, a couple of offensive tackles in Walker Little and Trey Smith, who chose to go other places. Just an interesting year, an interesting signing day press conference over there. But he mentioned those guys by name to say that Tony Gray was the third guy that they had evaluated, and they really went all in for Tony Gray and were able to sign him over his other interests being Florida and Georgia. And the other offensive line signee for Ole Miss is Ben Brown out of St. Aloysius in Vicksburg, who was rated the number one offensive tackle in the state, a consensus three-star prospect. An interesting story here. Just multiple family members for Brown having already played at Ole Miss and other times in their lives. That includes his dad, two grandfathers, an uncle, and just, you know, all kinds of people in his background, in his family, who already had played at Ole Miss. So that that was someone who committed to Ole Miss early in the process and did not waver. But, you know, a lot of defensive help for Ole Miss, and the ones who stand out the most would be Breon Dixon and Dede Bowie. So we'll see, you know, how those guys fit in, which of these linebackers emerge and get on the field early and really help in a position of need next year. We'll see. You know, signing day, you know, what you hear about these guys when they sign and how they actually pan out in terms of getting on the field and finding a place in the two deep and sticking there, or maybe earning a starting job. You know, we'll see how all that plays out in the months to come. But the two that look like they really have a chance to get out there and help would be Breon Dixon at linebacker and Dede Bowie in the secondary. And a lot of other some other secondary signees as well, but those two probably have the best chance to contribute early.
Yeah, looking at today's class, obviously it was a JUCO-heavy class. 9 of the 13 enrollees are from the junior college ranks, and several of these guys have already had Division I experience, and that's something that's kind of been very rare. I mean, Jonathan Abram and Chauncey Rivers both played at Georgia. Looking at Brian Cole, was the number one rated recruit out of Michigan. He actually played wide receiver at Michigan as a true freshman. He's going to be a safety for Mississippi State. They picked him up on the rebound from EMCC. And then Montez Sweat, who was a defensive end, was actually going to be a starting defensive end at Michigan State and got kicked out off that team and spent a year at Kapaa-Lincoln Community College. Mississippi State picked him up as well. And some of these guys have got a chance to really play early. Chauncey Rivers and Montez Sweat at defensive end. Abram and Brian Cole are going to push for playing time at safety, even though safety is kind of a position that Mississippi State feels like it has a lot of talent coming back at. You know, those guys are going to push those safeties for playing time already. And you know, they just did a really nice job getting a lot of these guys on campus early. The biggest guy that they got on campus early was Keaton Thompson, the four-star quarterback, the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state of Louisiana. Just put up some unbelievable stat numbers out of the New Orleans area. Played at Landry Walker High School, led them to a state championship this past season. 6'4", 220-pound kid guy. He's going to come in as the number two quarterback next season because there really are no other quarterbacks on the team. And it's a great opportunity for him to go through spring practice. He'll get all the number two reps and even some first-team reps this spring. So he'll be ahead of the curve from where he would have been had he come in the summer. So they're going to go ahead and get him ready to play because going into next season, he's one play away from being Mississippi State's starting quarterback. And that's a lot to throw on a true freshman. Dan Mullen really likes this kid. He identified him early and went ahead and got him committed. And then he had that monster senior season, and then schools like LSU started paying attention to him, and it was kind of too late in the process since he was an early high school graduate. It reminded me a lot of Dak Prescott's recruitment. It didn't have any huge offers coming out of high school, and Dan Mullen identified Dak Prescott, got him on board. He was an early high school graduate, and he goes out and has a monster senior season at schools like LSU came calling. And it was kind of too late. LSU was able to get Dak Prescott to come in on an official visit. They tried to get Keaton Thompson to come in on one, but he did not. He took his one official visit to Mississippi State, went ahead and enrolled. And Mississippi State's probably fortunate that things didn't play out for either one of those quarterbacks up until February, because it's so hard to get those Louisiana guys to go to Baton Rouge for college.
Oh, it certainly is. And that goes with trying to lure any kids out of their home state, but certainly at LSU, where there's no real major college, there's no Power Five presence in the state outside of LSU there in Baton Rouge. You mentioned the pressure on a true freshman coming in and possibly being just one snap away from being the starter. You know, I think that the most surprised player around the Ole Miss football family on signing day might have been Shea Patterson, you know, the rising sophomore who was the number one quarterback recruit nationally in 2016, ended up starting three games for Ole Miss last year after the Chad Kelly injury. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion that he is the Rebel starting quarterback. But they signed two quarterbacks yesterday. One of them is three-star high school recruit in Alex Faneuil out of Glen Allen, Virginia. But they also signed a junior college quarterback in December, a guy who's already enrolled, Jordan Tamu from Pearl City, Hawaii, and played at New Mexico Military. Now, he's a dual-threat quarterback, about 6'2", 200. But I'm thinking, why does a junior college guy with only 2 years of eligibility, you know, sign with a school who has no controversy, has an entrenched quarterback starter? And let's face it, that's what Shea Patterson is. And I asked Hugh Freeze that Wednesday, and you know, and he gave us the answer that, well, there'll be a quarterback competition in the spring because we have a new coordinator in Phil Longo, and he's not seen any of these guys yet, and you know, they'll compete, and you know, because what else do you say on signing day? But the bottom line is, for whatever reason, Jordan Tamu thought Ole Miss would be a good fit for his final 2 years of eligibility, and he chose to sign, and Freeze liked that because he gets a little more experienced player there, and depth was becoming an issue for Ole Miss because they really would like to move Jason Pellerin, the guy who Patterson beat out after the Kelly injury. They'd like to move Pellerin to another position, maybe tight end, maybe make him that athletic Evan Engram type of tight end who could split out a little bit as well and really get involved in the vertical passing game. And that's how athletic Jason Pellerin is. Well, in order for that to become a reality, they have to establish some depth at the position. And after Kelly was hurt last year, basically the scholarship quarterbacks were Patterson and Pellerin, and that was it. So right now they have Pellerin is still at the quarterback position. They have Patterson, and they have the two guys who are in this signing class. So spring will be very interesting, and I think it'll be about building quarterback depth. I don't think it will be about trying to find a starter. I don't think that it will take new offensive coordinator Phil Longo a very long time to reach a conclusion on that. Hey, folks, let's shift gears a little bit. Got a few minutes left, and let's talk a little basketball. Rebels and Bulldogs did get together in the pavilion Tuesday night, Ole Miss winning 88-61. It was the biggest win for the Rebels in the series since 1951. And, Logan, I was really surprised by the outcome. Ole Miss had not been playing that well, even though they were coming off a close loss the previous Saturday at home to then number 5 Baylor. This was a team that had just been all over the map in terms of consistency and really hadn't put together much of that in conference play, particularly at home. And, you know, Mississippi State had some impressive road wins. I was really surprised at how easy it appeared for Ole Miss in that game, even though I.J. Reddy didn't play for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I wasn't really surprised by it at all, Parrish. You really can't depend on this Mississippi State team to do anything right now. They're just so young, and you really don't know what you're going to get in from game to game. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of consistency from this team. The only thing you can really count on is Mississippi State's going to get out-rebounded. And that's really the only thing you can put your finger on that this team can do is get out-rebounded. You know, in Mississippi State, they're young, they're talented, they're going to have good nights, they're going to have bad nights. And Tuesday night was a bad night for Mississippi State. I think Ole Miss closed the half on like a 22-5 run or something like that, and kind of spurted things out over those last few minutes of that first half, and you know, just really were able to cruise from there. Mississippi State was able to cut that deficit to 10 kind of midway through the second half, and then Ole Miss kind of spurted things out. Mississippi State was actually down to no healthy point guards by the end of that ball game. 9 minutes to go in the game, Lamar Peters had to leave for the second time with a hip pointer, and since I.J. Reddy's not playing either with an injury, Tyson Carter's got to run the point, and Tyson Carter's a shooting guard. And, you know, he'd only had I think, 3 minutes at point guard all season. That was even the last game against Alabama. So, yeah, really just not a whole lot of experience. And when you don't have that floor general like I.J. Reddy, he's their only upperclassman. He's their only leadership and stability is coming from him. And, you know, he's not out there on the floor. This team is just very, very young, and it showed on Tuesday.
Well, Ole Miss is at Vanderbilt Saturday. The Rebels will face new Vanderbilt coach Bryce Drew. And if Ole Miss fans, if that name rings a bell, it was Bryce Drew who hit the shot for Valparaiso back in the day, 1998. You see that clip at the beginning of every NCAA tournament now. So one shining moment for Valparaiso back then, and Bryce Drew is head coach at Vanderbilt. So an interesting rematch there. I know State is at home against Tennessee. What's their point guard status for Saturday, Logan?
It's still day-to-day. I mean, obviously, I think Lamar Peters will be back and still be able to play, but I.J. Reddy, they expected him to miss probably close to a week, so he's going to be probably a game-time decision. Probably don't expect him to play very much, if at all, on Saturday. So Mississippi State may be in that same situation, but you know, here he is. Mississippi State's lost four of their last five ball games. Three of those have been on the road, so Mississippi State needs to take advantage of having a home game, and they've played well the last two times at home. You know, played a close game against Kentucky. We were able to beat Missouri here at home, so they need to take advantage of playing at home. Didn't play very well at Tennessee, lost 91-74 up in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago, so Mississippi State has the height advantage, so they need to finally out-rebound somebody.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Be sure to check out our news podcast, The Memo, all things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, every Wednesday, and Wednesday and Friday for The Memo. Check out Prep Rally every Wednesday for all your high school sports needs. That's Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps taking care of you there. And Logan and I will be back with you next Thursday or Friday with another round of Double Coverage.